Nye McGee.
Yes, you heard right.
Hi. How's everyone? Thank you for coming, for caring about our little movie.
Thank you.
Excellent little movie. Thank you.
So how did you?
So my I am chief creative officer for Pharrell Williams and his company, I Am Other. We were brought the project when it was, before it was a script, it was just an idea. Our agents, we have the same agents at WME, Rick and Pharrell, and we sat down with Rick, and he just was like, you know, I want to make this movie, kind of like, he didn't use the phrase nerds in the hood, but that was kind of what it felt like, and just sort of, you know, navigating the drama that goes on and trying to figure it out, and he was really inspired by, you know, the kids today who grew up in the hood, but yet, because of the internet, have access to a whole other world, unlike he did growing up, and I grew up the same way, so did Pharrell, so I think the idea really resonated with us, so we were like, alright, cool, write the script, and come back, and we'll take it from there, because he had approached us about, he wanted Pharrell to do the music, and we at I Am Other had been kind of looking for a project to get involved in, and this just seemed perfect. I mean, my background, I used to be an editor-in-chief at Vibe magazine. I grew up, started at Vibe, so I was very much there during the whole 90s hip-hop reporting of all that, so it resonated with me, too, personally, on that level, because I was like, man, this is going to be exciting to do a film like this, so yeah, it's a short story.
Well, he came through as the bottom line, big time, so.
Which is crazy to us, because we believed in the project and we thought it was great. And then, you know, we filmed the film, you know, last summer. We wrapped productions end of September. So we hoped we would get into Sundance. But then, you know, we got in. We're so happy. We're excited. No one expected to have the bidding war and, like, be up all night after the premiere to, like, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning that finally our agents were like, okay, you guys need to go home. We've had enough meetings. We'll figure this out. Get some sleep. Come back. That was insane. And then, you know, then fast forward to Cannes and getting in was a complete kind of shock. I mean, I think after the success of Sundance, it was like, okay, maybe this could happen. But that wasn't on our kind of wish list when we were like dreaming of, oh, we want this film, you know, for it to be successful, whatever. Didn't think like, oh, and it's going to get into Cannes. That didn't even cross our mind. So the fact that it got in and we go, I'm like, Pharrell and I, like, we're sitting, we're watching the movie, and I'm so nervous because I'm like, okay, how are the French going to react to this very American film, you know? Like, this is a very, yeah, so it was just like, how are they going to respond to it and just being nervous about that, but they gave it a standing ovation, which was surreal. It was crazy.
Really?
Yes, it was, we were just kind of like, they're standing up. Wow, okay, this is crazy. So, yeah, it was, that was amazing.
The film is full of,
I mean, it's stunning. Oh, sorry.
No, the film is full of really good moments.
Thank you.
And we were talking about it could have been a film that could preach to a point where you're kind of like, okay,
yeah. No, Rick wrote an amazing script. He really did. I mean, it has all those elements. Well, first, we haven't seen a movie like this in a long time. Mm-hmm. Then we have this, like, great, amazing young cast that, to us, you know, we all knew they were stars, but it's funny hearing how, like, Hollywood works, where I think if it would have been at a studio, they probably wouldn't have let us hire all those actors, you know, because some of them had never acted before, and then some had been, you know.
Never acted before.
Cap G, A$AP Rocky, Tyga, Quincy had done stuff before, but again, so Quincy had done some stuff. Kiersey had, you know, obviously, you know, it's been on Transparent, so she had done stuff. But Shameik, that was his first big role. He had done one of those, like, sketch comedy kid shows. I forget it was either Nickelodeon or Disney, one of those channels. But he had never, you know.
He drove.
Yeah, you know. And then obviously Tony had been in Wes Anderson's Grand Budapest Hotel, so he was probably the most experienced. But then Zoe had been and done stuff. But yeah, but you think of, like, these other actors who had never done a film before. But that was, you know, when we were talking about casting, we were really pushing for that, you know, in terms of For All and I Am Mother. Like, we felt like the film needed to have young, you know, kind of these fresh faces. And to us, we also knew the value. While maybe Hollywood didn't know who Cap G was yet, and he's actually one of I Am Mother's artists, you know, he has a big social media following, and all these actors together, their social media following was just immense. And that, to us, felt really good, because we were like, all right, well, when it comes time to start promoting, we know that we can use all of their power to help get the word out.
But to have Pharrell and Forrest in this project, it gives you the liberty also to take risk, right?
Yeah, of course, to take risk. And it's what, you know, more than anything, it's what makes us excited about working on a project. Like, we don't pick projects based on, okay, this is going to be really successful. I mean, you hope, of course, it's going to be successful, but we pick projects because we think that they will be fun to work on. They're going to have some sort of cultural impact. And this felt like a movie that could really cut through everything that was sort of out there and be a voice for this new generation of kids that, again, they're dealing with. Growing up in the hood was one way when I was there. Now it's different. Not to say that it's necessarily better. It's just that they have access to so much more information than, you know, if I would have had a computer, you know, growing up, or if I would have, you know, had access to see what they, you know, what kind of music they like in Paris. Like, that probably would have, I feel like, you know, I escaped, or I was able to sort of rise above my circumstances, but I just can't imagine, like, man, what would I have been like if I would have had access to what A$AP Rocky has access to?
But do you think
whatever.
That matters when you see that their main problem is the prejudice against them, even from within, from their teacher?
Yeah,
their
but see, family. seeing, being able to see the world gives them the confidence to understand, like, okay, you might not get it, but I know that I'm worth something, and I know that I have a voice, and I know that I have something to say, and I know that I'm smart, and I can be the next Zuckerberg. Like, they have the confidence when they can have access to seeing it, where maybe before there were a couple of dreams back in the day that got crushed, you know, by a guy, you know, a guidance counselor. I know guidance counselors that said that, you know, back in the day, and for me, I was like, whatever. You know, I know that I'm smart, and I know that, you know, I have the support of my mom and my grandmother, but other kids took that advice from the guidance counselor, and it destroyed them. Mm-hmm. And they were able to, you know, not able to sort of rise above it. So I think that's why the internet has been, besides being, you know, such a blessing of just this information, I think it's been really, really important for kids that don't have, who grew up in these circumstances, to just get a little bit more confidence and knowing, like, hey, I know you live here, but there's a bigger world out there. And if you dream big enough and you do the work, you can rise above it.
Don't you think that's a bit rosy when we see the circumstances in America today and everything that's happening, and it seems to be maybe tougher?
No, it's not. No, it's not rosy in the sense that every kid, regardless of whatever your background is, whether you're rich or you're poor, every kid needs to feel like, needs to have the confidence and feel supported. Like, that more than anything. Pharrell talks about that all the time. Like, he, you know, was this talented music kid who didn't really do that well in school because the way they were teaching wasn't for him. You know, he needed to learn another way. But it was the support of a music band teacher who saw some promise and was like, you know what, you're really talented, but in order to stay in this music class, you have to do well in school. So I think it's not about being rosy. It's about giving young kids, regardless of their background, support to dream and understand that their individuality and what they have to offer to the world is valuable. I think that more than anything. Yes, the prejudices. Yes, there's always going to be people on the other side that are going to, you know, try to stop you or try to discourage you. But I think the more that kids can understand that, look, if you dream big enough, you can figure it out. I don't think that message was so apparent necessarily when I was growing up. And I think now when I talk to these young kids, and, you know, you guys will talk to them, they don't think like that. Like, Rocky grew up in Harlem. He's, how old is he now? 23. He doesn't think like that. He doesn't even, that's not even a question for him. He understands his potential and what he can be. But that only came from just having the confidence, so.
How did he come to be cast, by the way?
So Chanel, Chanel and Rocky were dating at the time, and she was, you know, she was getting ready to audition, and he looked at the script and was like, oh, I want to try out for this part. Taped himself and sent in his audition.
Really?
Yeah. That was kind of shocking. We were like, oh, wow, look at Rocky, you know. And then I remember Rick was like, oh, my God, Rocky, you know, he's like, Rocky just sending.
Did he have the actual script, or he just?
No, he had, no, well, she had it. Chanel had it. So he just, you know, I guess picked two scenes and then just sent it in. Yeah, it's crazy.
I read that that when Rick was shopping the script to studios, he had a hard time trying to sell it. Like, what?
Well, so just so you know how that works. So we got involved with the project before, you know, like I said before, it was an idea. Then when he did have a script, that's eventually when Forrest and Nina came on. I didn't know until Sundance, because I always assumed, oh, we're raising the money independently, we're doing this. But I think at one point, Nina and Rick were like, you know what? Maybe this can be a studio film. Let's go around and pitch it. And they already had a script. Mind you, myself, my mother, we signed on when it was an idea, before Rick even had a script. So now they have the script. They go around to the studios, and not Open Road, though, because I don't think they didn't meet with Open Road, but all the other studios they met with, nobody got it.
And why didn't they get it?
My theory, now, you know, sort of being, you know, having meetings and understanding kind of like, you know, having a little bit more insight to how Hollywood works, I think it's because it's human nature to pick projects or just identify, you know, when you read something like this, you're looking to identify with it, right? Whether you identify with it, it feels familiar to you. I just think the storyline for these Hollywood executives or anyone who was in a position of power to read it, he just didn't get it. It just didn't resonate. It didn't seem like something that was, like, important, you know? Like, it didn't feel like this is an important story. But to us, you know, and again, not saying that you have to be from the hood to understand the story, but I just feel like it didn't feel important, you know? It didn't feel like something that needed to be made. But meanwhile, all of us were like, oh, my gosh, like, this movie is going to do great because the kids are going to... gonna eat this up. So that's my theory. I just think it's not a more than anything, it's just that they just don't understand this world. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's not a remake or a blockbuster.
but I think there's that idea of, you know, I'd say that now too, it's like I realize that the reason why these movies don't get made is because there's no one in positions of power championing them. That's the only reason. If there were more people,
well, it goes back to that age-old argument that the fact that there's not enough minorities or people of color in positions to greenlight films who would understand it.
And I will even go even further, like, because I honestly think that, you know, it doesn't necessarily just have to be people of color or minorities, but just people. Like, I know a lot of, like, you know, white kids that, you know, worked with me at, you know, I used to be editor in chief of Vibe, that if those kids were in positions of power, they would have greenlit this movie because they understand it. And that's the thing. It's like, you have to be open. You have to be a person that understands that America is not one note. America is a melting pot, and there's many stories, and it's not just there's not just one way to be American. And I think that's what this film.
Go ahead,
sort of
say it.
Thank you.
Wait, no, I thought you were going to say one more.
They're waiting outside.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Yes,
thanks. That was great meeting
you. Thank you, you guys, too. Thanks again for supporting the film. Yeah. And, you know, appreciate you guys being here.
It's a huge hit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to your...